Well, thank you, Don and Donna. That's beautiful. Boy, Christmas Eve 2021 sure came quickly, didn't it? I don't know. Are you ready for Christmas? Some of you aren't even sure where you are tonight, are you? Aren't you? Yeah. The lights are out, yes. Please stay awake. I know it's past your bedtime. And we want to welcome Norm and May back from Dominican Republic. And no. Christina, do you want to introduce your family to us so everybody knows who's here?
Yeah, we have tonight my mom, Jane, joining us.
Yes. Nice to have you folks. Beautiful. Yes, yes, yes. And want to welcome back Beth. She flew in from Halifax 2 days ago, and she's here with us for a few days. So she was over setting up the drums because she's going to play drums on Sunday. So I said to her before we started the service, I said, honey, how long has it been since you've been at this church? She said, 2 hours. Yeah. Anyway, let's open with a word of prayer, and then we're going to enjoy an evening together of praise and worship. Father, I just thank you for this time together. Lord, these days are busy, and families come and go, and there's so many things to do, preparations and meals and food and shopping, and it's easy to get the reason for the season lost in the midst of chaos. And so my prayer for all of us tonight is that you'll just allow us to, in the quietness of this night, just to sense your presence once again, to know that you are God, to know that your Son and you worked out a plan before even the creation of the world, where your Son would come as a babe, grow up to be a man, walk the dusty roads of Palestine, to live and then to die and then to rise again, and then to ascend where he now intercedes for each one of us at your right hand in heaven. And so, Lord, as we sing your praise tonight, as we hear as others present parts of the Christmas story, may it move us, and may, as always, we have more faith when we leave than when we walk through the door. In your powerful name we pray. Amen. Tonga, would you come, please?
Merry Christmas, church.
So we all stand together and sing this afternoon.
Let's all stand together.
Receive a key. Let every heart
And Rhoda, we're going to ask you if you'd come and play something and sing for us, please.
This isn't your normal Christmas carol that I'm going to sing. It's for those who have lost loved ones this year, and this is their first Christmas without them. If that's your situation, I hope it brings some comfort to you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Rhoda. And now we're going to ask Shauna in the kids' church to come up, and you're going to have to pay very close attention to them. Yeah, I think we will.
Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Birds kept there watching, silent flocks by night. Behold, throughout the heavens, there shone a holy light. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. The shepherds feared and trembled when low above the earth rang out the angels' chorus that hailed the Savior's birth. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Down in a lowly manger, the humble Christ was born. And God sent us salvation that blessed Christmas morn. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born.
Thank you, team. Lovely. Monique, if you can match that one. Thank you, Tonga. That was profound. With no music and no sound, what did you hear? What did you see? I think sometimes we take the Christmas story for granted, don't we? I want to bring another aspect of the Christmas story to you tonight. And this is a serious scenario, and this is a true story. This is a story about a pastor in Romania who spent 4 Christmas Eves in jail, arrested for his faith. He languished in jail for a decade and a half, and this is some of his reflections. Many of you know Brother Andrew and the work that he did with Open Doors. This is Brother Richard Romack, and many of you will, Wormbrandt, you will remember he was a pastor in the communist region of Romania and in eastern parts of Europe. And he wrote the following story a number of years ago, and he told it to a friend who put this into book form, and this is his story. It was Christmas Eve. Pastor Richard Wormbrandt had just returned to his cell after 12 hours of slave labor in a bitter Romanian winter. His body ached. He was shivering. His stomach churned with hunger. For another hour, Captain Stan kept him and his fellow prisoners standing rigidly at attention. While baring his fist, the callous captain shouted out, "This has become hard as steel from beating you prisoners. I can crack any of you with one punch. I promise you that for tomorrow's feast, you will be beaten worse than ever. Christ was not born for you. Nobody loves you. Your wives are now with other men. Your children are now communists and curse you. Merry Christmas." Richard and several of his cellmates were well aware of the truth. They knew the fact was that Jesus loved them. They knew that Jesus was born for every man in that prison, including Captain Stan. After the captain had left, one of Richard's cellmates, Pastor Krantzian, stretched out his weakened body on the few wooden planks that served as a bed and whispered to Richard, "Tomorrow might be unpleasant, But as Psalm 121 and verse 4 says, God who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. A moment later, the pastor was sleeping peacefully. In the 14 Christmases that Richard spent in prison, he met some prisoners who were not able to sleep as peacefully as Pastor Cransham. Sapanyu, a former colonel of the communist secret police who lay dying in Richard's cell, yelled out at the top of his voice, "Help me, help me! I've tormented so many innocents. I have tortured them." You see, communists not only jailed Christians and Jews and political opponents, but also their own comrades. "I'm going to hell," he moaned to another pastor who was in the cell. That particular pastor, who'd suffered for faith that Richard knew was not biblically based, told the tormented officer, "Don't worry. God is good. He has no hell." To this, Sapanu replied, "If you burn with remorse as I do, you would know there is a hell, and I feel as if I'm gliding towards it." In that moment, Richard realized that the unbelieving pastor was about to give the only message that could truly bring peace when he said the following: "No sin against God's majesty goes without punishment, but Jesus has borne the punishment due to us. Through his blood, we will be saved from hell." The communist man that night was converted. The once unbelieving pastor had learned a valuable lesson from the admonition of a dying torturer. At that very minute, Jesus became the Lord in both their hearts. In another cell, Richard overheard a conversation between a pastor named Simeon and a thief named Cunha. Every day, Cunha had stolen Simeon's glasses and then offered to return them in exchange for the pastor's meager supply of sugar. Pastor Simeon never complained. Then one day he said to the thief, "I give you the sugar gladly. You don't need to blackmail me by taking my glasses." "Well, why don't you just get angry and report me?" Cooney asked. "Well, because I want you to become a better man," Simeon said. "I love you." Expressing his doubt, Cooney revealed the condition of his heart. "Nobody loves me. I'm a thief." "It's Christmas. It's Jesus' birth," Simeon continued. "He loves thieves so much that he likened himself to a thief who comes in the night. I too have learned much from thieves. Let me tell you what I've learned about you. Number one, you are passionate in your trade. You go to great lengths in order to steal to get money. You suffer repeatedly, but once freed, you revert to stealing. You are a model of perseverance. Like you, I too like gold, but I've chosen an eternal abode in a city where even the streets are paved with gold. Jesus came from there to enrich us, so there's no need to steal anymore." Again, the story was told to that thief about the Son of God who was born in a stable to save mankind. Peering through the hollow eyes of death, one can see a higher quality of life, Richard wrote when he recalled these stories. On Christmas, the Son of God was made man that we might become children of God. His aim has been fulfilled, and there are really and truly children of God. On another of the 14 Christmas Eves that Richard was in jail, he lay sick in bed while an abbot named Iskew lay in a separate bed to his right, awaiting death from repeated tortures that he'd endured. The abbot was serene. Knowing that he would soon be with Jesus in heaven, he spoke little. But when this imprisoned monastery leader did, he said the following: "Truth that could only be borne out in deep pain. Jesus loves me. This I know." Just then, the physically weak Iskew called to two other prisoners to his side to help him, and leaning on them as he walked slowly over to his former torturer, because what you don't realize is that in the very next bed beside Richard was the torturer of the abbot. He had been imprisoned and tortured for decades, and now this man was also in jail, this communist, and he was so distraught that he woke in the middle of the night screaming out, "I have committed horrible crimes. I can find no rest. Help me, help me." so as I just mentioned, Iskew asked these two other prisoners in his cell to help him to stand, and he went over to his torturer, and he said the following as he sat down at his bedside. You were young and did not know what you were doing. I forgive and I love you, as do the other Christians that have been mistreated. And if we Christians who've been saved by Jesus can love you like this, how much more is Jesus ready to erase all the evil that you have done to cleanse you fully? Only repent. With that comment, a tortured man became a Christian. He confessed his crimes to the very one he tortured. And then, as Richard lay on his bed, he heard the tortured one absolve his torturer of all his sins before they embraced. And later, on that Christmas Eve night, both died on their pallets. It's not a simple commemoration of the event of Bethlehem. It was Jesus being born in the heart of a criminal. This is the real meaning of Christmas, Richard once wrote. Such men love the cross, endure its humiliation. They follow the man of sorrows in their suffering, which has been freely chosen for the sake of truth. It's interesting that in reading about Richard further, he said one of the greatest things that caused him the most anguish was not the 14 years in jail and those 14 Christmas Eves, but was when he came to speak to churches in Europe and North America, and they simply thought he was an erratic man. Didn't know what he was talking about. Family, the unfortunate thing is I think we make Christmas Eve and Christmas Day a stereotype, a lovely little manger scene and some sheep and some stinking shepherds who came and went and maybe a cow thrown in or a horse or, you know, some straw. But I think what I hear tonight in this story that I've just read to you is that Jesus is in the business of saving men's soul in commemoration on the very eve before he was born 2,000 years ago. Family, I want to encourage you. This is not a tradition that we partake in. This is about a very real story of a man who came to the earth to what? Save the entire world from sin and hell. And so, family, I leave that thought with you because all of us are going to go and sleep on our beds tonight. Is any of you planning to sleep in jail? Are any of you planning to be tortured tonight for your faith? Well, it might depend on how much you eat after this service. But that has to do with Pepsi AC. That doesn't have to do with your faith. Isn't it marvelous that our faith has anchored us in the midst of all of life's issues? And Richard, once again, this season told me in his story and reminded me again that Jesus is bigger than any issue that comes through life or death. And it started with a babe who was born in Bethlehem. Aren't you glad for that babe who now sits at the right hand of God the Father and intercedes for you and I? Bless the Lord. Judy, would you come, please?
Thank you, Donga. One of my favorite Christmas songs is sung by a group called Boney M. The song is called Mary's Boy Child. And one line in particular always gives me pause to think. And that line is, "Oh my Lord, your very self you gave us." When Moses was charged with leading God's people out of Egyptian captivity, Moses asked God who he should say had sent him to lead the people, to which the reply came from God, "Say, I am who I am has sent you." In the language of the Old Testament, the Hebrew word for I am is Eya, denoting the personal and existing one. It can also be translated as I will be what I will be, or even I will become whatever I choose to become. Eya signifies the God who is and the unique personal relationship he enjoined with his people, setting them apart for his purposes. 700 years after the Old Testament prophet Isaiah foretold the coming of the Messiah, the I Am became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. That night in Bethlehem, in that stable, lowly shepherds bowed together with wise kings in worship. The New Testament book of Hebrews describes Christ as the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of his being, who came to us in human expression that we might know the personal God, the existing one, and the one who came to free us from the captivity of the shadow of mankind's greatest failing. Author and scholar Bishop Wright refers to the Christmas story as a whole great story about a God who comes to be with his people. The I Am in the New Testament becomes, I am the vine, I am the good shepherd, I am the bread of life, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the resurrection and the life everlasting to all who will believe. Jesus, the embodied I Am, shows us who God really is. Oh, my Lord, your very self you gave us. He was and is and ever will be that which he said of himself to Moses, I am who I am. The mystery and the majesty continue to beckon hearts and minds even today. And wise men still seek him. Will you not also seek him?
Thank you, Judy. That was so profound. Tonga, turn it over to you, please.
Church, we are so glad that you could come out tonight and join us for our Christmas Eve service. I hope that you're having a good time reflecting on the reason for this season. And although we couldn't do a candlelight service because of the complication with all the COVID restrictions, I just want to speak a little bit about maybe a minute or two on why we light candles on Christmas Eve. Like tonight, many churches around the world are lighting candles that fills the church on Christmas Eve. And the service usually concludes with the congregation leaving the church, carrying our light out into the dark world. Amen? And the symbolism is obvious, yet very breathtaking if you think about it. And Jesus is the light of the world. And he entrusted this same title on his disciple and also on us when he said, you are the light of the world. In Matthew 5:16, he told us that, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. A New Testament scholar, his name is N.T. Wright, once said that Christmas is God lighting a candle. And you don't light a candle in the room that's already full of sunlight. You light a candle in a room that's so murky that the candle, when lit, reveals just how bad things are. And when Jesus was born on a night like this, 2,000 years ago, the world desperately needed his light. Amen? And it still does today. Perhaps even more if you look at the world right now. In an ancient world, when various people lit fires to make the turning of the light into the winter season and pray for the lights to return. But to us, these candles are signs of hope and light of life. Amen? Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 12, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Moreover, these candles are also signs of the growing light of Christ, who is coming again in all fullness into the darkness of our world. Amen. And until the dawning of that great day, we watch and wait in Holy Spirit for Christ coming into the darkness of our world. And I particularly like Howard Thurman's perspective on why we light candles. This is from one of his poems. And he said, we light candles of hope where despair keeps watch. Candles of peace for tempest-tossed days. Candles of courage where fear is ever present. We light candles of joy despite all the sadness that we're going through every day. Candles of love to inspire all our living. And candles of grace to ease heavy burdens as we remember God's promises with prayer. Amen? So although we can't light our physical candle tonight, I want to encourage us to light our hearts with the light of the world, Jesus Christ, and to go out there and shine our light into the dark world out there. Amen? Keeping that in mind, why don't we all stand together and sing Silent Night, Holy Night.
Thank you.
I've conducted 39 years of Christmas Eve services. And you're the best bunch I've seen yet. Tonga and I determined, as we prepared for this service, that you would once again realize how much Jesus Christ really loves you. He loves us with a love that we'll never understand. And he loves us with a love that's going to take us right into eternity. So family, as you head home tonight, I want you to go in peace. I want you to go in the knowledge that God's got plans and purposes for you. If he could plan a birth absolutely perfectly, he knows how to take you into the rest of this year and into the years to come. And so as I give you a benediction tonight, as we head out to prepare for tomorrow, let's never forget the reason for the season. And by the way, our wives have prepared a little treat for you, and we'd like you to take some cookies home again as you leave tonight, if that's not too much trouble. So let's pray together, shall we? Father, thank you for this time, and we just bless you for being our God, for all that you've done, and all that you continue to do. Lord, we know that you've got plans and purposes. There are going to be people that are going to find you this season. It might be in a hotel room. It might be in a prison cell. It might be even a conversation on our street or at a corner by a store. But Lord, I'm absolutely convinced that you have many more people to draw to yourself. But Lord, help us, as Judy proclaimed, that we would be lights in the darkness, as Tonga proclaimed, the great I Am and the light of the world are one and the same. And so, Lord, lead us in all that we do in the days to come. And Lord, remind us tomorrow that you are the reason for the season. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Bless the Lord. Thank you for coming. Donna, will you play us out with anything? Well, Phil, don't turn the lights on. Let's keep it mellow, because some people are going to be waking up slowly. But we want to give you some cookies. And again, thank you for being here with us tonight. Lord bless you.